We could turn to John chapter 3. I'd like to read some of the beginning verses in this chapter. John chapter 3. Now there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a member of the Jewish ruling council. He came to Jesus at night and said, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one could perform the miraculous signs you are doing if God were not with him." In reply, Jesus declared, "I tell you the truth, no one can see the kingdom of God unless he is born again." "How can a man be born when he is old?" Nicodemus asked. "Surely he cannot enter a second time into his mother's womb to be born." Jesus answered, "I tell you the truth, no one can enter into the kingdom of God unless he is born of water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit. You should not be surprised at my saying, 'You must be born again.' The wind blows where it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it is going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit." "How can this be?" Nicodemus asked. "You're Israel's teacher," Jesus said, "and you do not understand these things? I tell you the truth. We speak of what we know, and we testify to what we have seen, but still you people do not accept our testimony. I have spoken to you of earthly things, and you do not believe. How then will you believe if I speak of heavenly things? No one has gone into heaven except the one who came from heaven, the Son of Man. Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes in him may have eternal life." Here we have a very interesting passage in Scripture. We have two people in a room at night, Jesus and Nicodemus. And just before this chapter 3, it says at the end of chapter 2 that Jesus knew all men and knew what was in man. And then this opens up with, in the Greek and here in the English translation, "Now there was a man." Here was a man, Nicodemus, who was a member of the Jewish ruling council. He was a Pharisee. He was a leader. He was considered, even Jesus considered him, the teacher of Israel. He was a very prominent man, a very educated man in the Old Testament scriptures. He had a lot of knowledge and a lot of position within that particular society. He comes to Jesus by night, didn't want to come to him in broad daylight because he was trying to secretly and have an encounter with Jesus, secretly come to Jesus, because he feared what would happen to him if his fellow Pharisees found out that he had actually had a session with Jesus. Even later on, we read in the Gospel of John, there was a time in which his fellow Pharisees had decided to condemn Christ, lay hold of him, and murder him. And he kind of tried to defend Jesus. He said, "Does our law judge anyone before it first hears him?" And then later on, after Jesus is crucified, he and Joseph of Arimathea go and take Jesus and bury him and anoint him with very costly spices. So all along, Nicodemus is doing things in secret. From the first time we encounter him, he comes to Jesus by night. And as we get into this whole discourse here, see what's going on between Jesus and Nicodemus, you'll see this is very personal. And it's the same kind of way a lot of us would first like to come to Jesus, that is by night, secretly, alone, personally, not with anybody around, but just he and me, Jesus and myself, and have a talk with him. Now, we don't know what motivated Nicodemus to come. Could have been he really had a spiritual craving, a longing within him to meet this man Jesus. He had heard that this Jesus did wonderful miracles, wonderful signs. And he thought, well, maybe he is the Messiah. Or it could have been Nicodemus thought, hey, this is a good chance to have some nice dialogue with another great teacher. He could have thought, hey, this Jesus is a wonderful teacher. I'm a teacher. In fact, I'm a great teacher, as Jesus tells him later on. Let's go discuss some theology. Let's have a little rabbinical debate here about various things in the Old Testament scriptures. So Nicodemus comes and kind of gives a little introduction to Jesus and says, we know, and just by that statement, we know, he's setting himself up as being a representative of the other Jews, or at least of the other rulers. He says, we know that you are a teacher come from God. For nobody could do these signs that you do unless God is with him. So he first sets himself up as a representative of the other Jews, and he acknowledges Jesus as a teacher. And he acknowledges Jesus as having come from God. But Jesus doesn't say, well, thank you, Nicodemus. I'm glad you've seen what a great guy I am. And what's on your mind? He says to him, unless a man is born from above or born again. The Greek preposition there could mean again, anew, from above. Any one of those. Unless a man's born again. Or born from above, has a heavenly birth, or born anew, he can't see the kingdom of God. Now this is a startling statement, especially to Nicodemus sitting there at that time. This would be very startling to somebody like that. What? I don't see the kingdom of God? I don't see it? You talk that I need this new birth to see it? What is the kingdom of God? It is, to give a definition, I would say it is the realm or sphere in which God exists and in which God rules. It's the sphere of God's rule. And we cannot see it. It is invisible to us. We are here in the kingdom of this world. And one day in the book of Revelation, it says, the kingdom of this world will become the kingdom of the Christ. But right now, that becoming hasn't happened yet. And so the kingdom of God is an invisible thing. It's a spiritual thing. You can't perceive it. God is there, but you can't see him. God is there, but you can't know him. Jesus Christ, when he was among the people, he said, lo, the kingdom of God is in your midst. Right here. Because he was there. And where he was, the rule of God was. But the people at this time didn't know how to enter into this kingdom. And he said, you have to be born anew or born again to see it. And then Nicodemus, his response is, can a man enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? From this statement, we understand Nicodemus was thinking Jesus was talking about a second birth, born again, but he was thinking about going back into his mother's womb and coming out again. Well, a lot of us have wished that. We have wished, oh, if only I could start all over again. If only I was born in such and such a household, a wealthy household, or if you weren't an American, oh, if only I was born an American. Oh, if only I was born intelligent. Only if I was born this way or that way. Some people have wished to start all over again, to be born again, and that kind of way. Some people have wished they were never born. Like Job, in his suffering, he said, ah, why was I ever born? I bet you everybody sitting in this room has had those thoughts one time or another. Oh, if I could just start all over again. Or, why was I ever born? Or blame your parents, you know, when your parents get mad at you and you're a kid and you retort, you say, well, you borned me. You had me. It wasn't my fault. But Jesus wasn't talking about this at all. So Jesus said to him, unless a man is born anew or born from above, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. You can't enter into God's realm without this new birth. And he told Nicodemus, whatever is born of the flesh is flesh. And whatever is born of the Spirit is spirit. Or another way to say it is, flesh begets flesh. Spirit begets spirit. Humans can only produce humans, Nicodemus. You go back in your mother's womb, you're still going to come out a human. You're still going to come out outside of God's kingdom. You're still not going to be there. You need another kind of birth to enter into God's kingdom. Another kind of birth to see. And that word see, we could say, means to experience God's kingdom. From the time I was 16 to the time I was 19, I heard about God's kingdom. My dad told me about it. I'm not talking about the kingdom to come. I'm not talking about heaven. I'm talking about where God is right now. I knew there was a God. I knew He existed. I knew He was real. I could see it in the world around me. I could read about it in various literature. But I couldn't enter in. How to get into this God? How to have a personal relationship with Him? How to get Him into me? I had even practiced a little bit of the Eastern religions and read about them. And they said, if you look deep within you, you meditate, you chant, you do all the right things, you'll find God within you. I didn't find God within me. I found a black, dark hole within me. I was a sinner. I was separate from God. I knew He was there. I was here in my condition, but how to get in? And my dad and other people said, they're in. They're there. They're experiencing Christ. They're in this realm. Something's going on there. And I wanted to know how to get into this place. How do you enter in? How does He enter into me? And no doubt, Nicodemus must have been baffled by what Jesus said to him, as a lot of people are today. They think Jesus is just another man, a great teacher, and I can come to Him as a Nicodemus, as another man, as a great teacher. But Jesus said, I came down from heaven. What a thing was going on there in the room. You have a man, a great man at that, Nicodemus, but you have another man who came from heaven, who came from God. And these two were sitting in the same room with one another. And Jesus was telling him, nothing, Nicodemus, counts until you get this new birth. You don't know, let's not even have a theological discussion. Don't even talk about God. You don't know God until you have this new birth. That's very interesting. Eventually in verse 7, Jesus tells him, verse 6, flesh gives birth to flesh, spirit gives birth to spirit. And then he says, don't be surprised when I say to you, you must be born again. And in the Greek, the word for you here is plural. It's you all must be born again. Since Nicodemus had set himself up as being the representative of Israel, Jesus took this chance to speak through Nicodemus to all of Israel, and then eventually we find out in verse 16, to the whole world. You all, he says, must be born again. It's a must. It's a necessity. It's a requirement. You know, we see the different signs somewhere that says you must be born again and that sort of thing. But remember, in the original here, in the Greek, it was a plural. All of Israel, all of the Jews, Jesus was saying, need this new birth. You know, and I must add this in as a parenthesis. It is a shame what has happened to this beautiful scriptural term, born again. It has, in modern parlance, been ruined. People talk about born again that, born again this, and born again that, and born again whales, and born again politicians, and born again this. And I had an English professor when I was in school, he said, oh, I'm born again too. It just meant I have new intellectual ideas about things. Jesus had a very specific definition in mind when he first used that term. And for a person to say, I am born again, is to say, I have seen the kingdom of God. I have entered into the kingdom of God. I'm living in the sphere and the rule of God. That's what you mean when you say you're born again. According to what Jesus was telling him here. It's not just, oh, an experience I had. Yes, it begins with an experience. But born again is an entrance into a new realm of existence. You don't just celebrate birth. Yes, we have birthdays every year. We celebrate the life that came from that birth. You don't celebrate the fact, just the fact you were born again and then forget about it and no longer live in that realm that you've been born into. You've been born into a realm to live in that realm, to live in God. So it really is a shame today when you read the statistics of how many people have so-called been born again. But I remember when I was. I automatically had a transfer from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of the Son of His love. Just like that. I believed in Jesus. I opened my heart to Him. And just like Jesus said to Nicodemus, you will see the kingdom of God. All of a sudden, the veils were just removed from my eyes. And I saw a whole different realm. I was in the realm of God. I was in the realm of seeing that Jesus Christ is real, seeing He did die for me. He did rise again from the dead. There is God. He is the creator of all. He is my Father. He did make me. This life on earth isn't meaningless, purposeless. I entered into another realm. Oh, how excited I was. Some people had entered into that realm and told me about it, but I'm like a blind man, groping around, reading books, asking questions. But once I believe, I'm in. And when you're in, you're in. Your eyes open up. You see, this is another realm. I'm in God. I'm in His kingdom. And then you go and tell somebody about it, and they go, huh? What? Where are you coming from? I don't understand. Should we have a little debate here? I think the Bible's inaccurate. How do you know that the Buddhists aren't right? And how about the Hindus? And what about the American Indians? And can't I just do what I want? And who's to say who's a sinner? And who's perfect? And who's right? And who are you to say? And who's Jesus anyone? Anyway, but a great martyr, et cetera, et cetera. Well, what can I say? I got in. And you're not in. And you know it. And you want to bring these other people into this other realm of God's existence where He rules. In the world around us, we say, well, I don't see that He's ruling. There's poverty, there's starving people, there's this, that, and the other thing, on and on. But I always was of the belief that the renovation of this earth has to first take place in my heart. If I can be renovated, if I can be renewed, if I can be reconstituted, then there's hope for this earth. And if this kingdom has a reality within me, eventually it will have a reality and a manifestation on this earth. We can try and change this earth, but until there's the change within us, it's not going to happen. So here is Nicodemus listening to these kind of things, totally baffled. And so Jesus gives him a metaphor. He says in verse 8, after He tells him, you must be born again. He says, the wind blows wherever it wants to. You hear its sound. You can't tell where it's coming from or where it's going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit. This is quite a metaphor here. If I had more time, I'd get into it in depth. But just listen to what Jesus is saying. Nicodemus says, you don't understand the new birth? It's like the wind just blows. You don't know where it's coming from or where it's going, but you surely can see its effect. When I was born again or born from above, a wind just came into me. God's Spirit was breathed into me and united me to the Spirit and united me with the Spirit. Notice the language says, this wind blowing wherever it wants to go is like the person who is born of the Spirit. It doesn't say, so is the activity of the Spirit. It says, so it is, so is the person so born. The person born of the Spirit begins to be a little mysterious. A little, what shall I say, not so rational as far as other people are concerned. If you looked at my life and life of my wife, where we have come from and where we are going, I don't know. I used to tell people last year we had been married, 13, 14 years, and we had moved 13, 14 times. A lot of wind. A lot of blowing. A lot of moving around. How I ended up in Wheaton, Illinois is a total miracle. I was trying to head south. I applied to colleges to teach south, south, south. George and I said, we're sick of Ohio. We want to go south. The wind blew me into Wheaton. When you are united with the Spirit of God, you're in another realm. And you're controlled and dominated by God's Spirit moving you in ways that you don't always understand. But that's a mark of being in this new realm and in this new sphere. Again, Nicodemus was baffled and he said, how can this be? How can this be? So many people have asked that question. Philosophers, great teachers, great intellects. The college and colleges and universities all around this country and in Europe, etc., would say, how can this be? Is this total foolishness? You're actually telling me there is a realm called God's kingdom that exists right now here on earth that you have entered into and that I'm not there? And that you were born again to get into this realm, and I need to be born again to get into this realm? Yes. There's no other way in. You can't think your way in. You can't do good your way in. You can't weep your way in. You can't beat yourself, fast your way in. There's nothing you can do to get in, except later on Jesus says, he who believes in me shall have eternal life. And then it goes on to John 3:16, which we have up there. God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. And that's the sober part about not being in God's kingdom. If you're not in God's kingdom by the time you die, you're not in God's kingdom after death. Some people hope, well, I don't know whether I'm going to be in God's kingdom or not. I don't know if I have eternal life or not. Rich and I, not here now, but we went around to many doors in my neighborhood and we talked to many people who were Catholics, Lutherans, and Methodists. Those three specifically. We asked them about whether they were assured whether or not they had eternal life. No assurance. No, I don't know. And most of them didn't care. That's what really made me sad. If you don't enter into God's kingdom now, don't think that by some luck or some great deed you did in life along the way there that all of a sudden you're going to, be there in God's kingdom. We can have the assurance now by believing in Jesus Christ that we have eternal life. I know right now as I stand here, I'm not a great person. I'm not a wonderful person. I'm not a good person. But I'm a believer. I've believed in this Jesus. I've entered into his kingdom and I have eternal life. There's no doubt in my mind. I've got it now. I'm in possession of the divine eternal life. And because I'm in possession of it, I know that I will rise again. Because it says so in the scripture, in John chapter 5. If you have eternal life now, you will rise again in that day. This is a wonderful, wonderful little discussion he had with Nicodemus that probably, out of everything that has been said in the gospel, has been broadcast the greatest. We have John 3:16. We have John 3:7. We have these wonderful things that Jesus said with Nicodemus in that room that night. I don't know whether Nicodemus that night believed in Jesus. It seems he eventually did. But he became a secret believer. He never declared it openly for fear of what the Pharisees would say to him. And we don't have any record of what happened after Jesus' crucifixion and resurrection. But I invite you, I invite anybody who's in this room right now, who's not seen the kingdom of God, who has not entered into the kingdom of God, I invite you right now to believe in Jesus and to enter in. To open your heart to Jesus Christ. To have this kind of discussion that Nicodemus had with him. You notice Nicodemus was very open to ask questions. Didn't get kind of the answers he expected. And you won't either. Jesus isn't going to explain to you why the things are the way they are in the world. He's not going to explain to you why you're a mess. He's just going to say, come into the kingdom of God. Believe and enter in. So, I'd like to pray right now. And if you want to talk to the Lord, please do so. You talk to the Lord Jesus also. And I invite you, if anybody's here who would like to, after the meeting, I'm gonna sit right up here in front. If you want to come up and talk to me and pray together with me, I'll be happy to do that with you. Let's pray together right now. Lord Jesus, thank you that you did come to this earth from heaven to bring the realm and sphere of God's existence to us and to give us a chance to get in, to enter in. Lord, we need you. Lord, we believe in you. Right now, we just pray for any here in this room who have not entered into your kingdom, who have not seen the kingdom of God, who have not truly been born anew, that they would turn their hearts to you, that they would find how real you are and how real your kingdom is. We pray, Lord, that you would move the hearts by your Spirit, that your Spirit would blow and breathe and come into us. We would be those living in the reality of your kingdom. Pray this in your precious name, in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior.